The scripture that was read, such an important part of what I wanted you to hear. That's the reason I don't try to read from John 14 from the real Bible. Somebody put a coloring box in my hand and one night at dinner and I got out of control. Again, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Now, those of you who are CTKers have heard me say this a bunch. In the King James, it says there are many mansions. That's not the word. If you're looking forward to getting a mansion when you go to heaven, it ain't happening. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Now, maybe you'll get one, but it's not because it says it in the Bible. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. It's the word abiding places. So in John 15, the very next chapter, this is part of the same conversation. He said, if you abide in me and I in you. And so he's talking about abiding place. He's talking about being in Christ. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. He goes to prepare a abiding place for you. He goes to prepare your place in him. Now, where did he go to do that? He went to the cross. We've been talking about that. He went to the cross, clothed in your humanity, and took your fallen and broken humanity, all the yuck, all the junk, to the cross, and that old person was crucified. You were in Christ in the crucifixion. He died as you, for you as you, and rose up again in union with you, and still in Christ, now in his resurrection life, his resurrected, ascended life. So that's the place he went to prepare for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Receive you to myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. He's not talking about heaven one day. He's talking about the fact that he went to prepare a place for them, prepare a place for us. And he says, and if I've gone to prepare this abiding place, I will come again to you. When? At Pentecost. If you remember in John 16, Jesus is talking to them and later in the same conversation, and they're saddened because Jesus said he's going to go away. And he said, look, it's for your benefit if I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to come again in the person of the Holy Spirit. But if I don't go away, I can't send him, and I'm going to send him. And his role in you is to emphasize me, is to make me real in you, to glorify me. And so as good as it's been having me with you these 3.5 years, when I go away, it's going to be better because I'm going to come again, receive you to myself. I'm going to come to live in you by the Holy Spirit. And being in you is going to be infinitely more fun than just being with you. Because being with you, you've watched me live. Being in you, you're going to experience me live. And he said, so I go to prepare this place for you. I'll come again, receive you to myself. And here's the reason, so that where I am, you will be also. Amen. Do you understand? Again, as we said earlier, I know that we receive Christ. That is salvation, is receiving him. But in a true sense, he receives us into his life. And in receiving us into his life, he's received into ours. Woven into the fabric of his existence, he's woven in the fabric of ours. So that where he is, I can be also. So when I give examples like that I've been giving, I was at a youth baseball game. And my grandsons play sports. And so youth baseball is like, I don't believe in purgatory, but if there was purgatory, it's youth baseball. Because they play every day, no matter whether it's freezing outside or 104 degrees, they play all year. It's just crazy. So I go to this youth baseball game, it's at night, and I'm in this bleachers, it's not large bleachers, and I'm trying to watch the game, and over here there's this laughter. One of those laughters, it's like the sound of a screech owl coming through the night. Some lady whose laugh was so loud, and she thought everything in the world was funny. And it just was incredible. And so she was probably 15 feet from me, but it still was just penetrating. And I began to complain in my heart, going, good gosh, Lord. And finally, I thought, man, Lord, please do something about this. And I couldn't get this out of my, and the Lord said, that's the most wonderful sound I've ever heard. He said, in this fallen world, the sound of human laughter ravishes my heart. Oh, wow. That's where you are. And you're inviting me to join you so that where you are, I can be also. Do you hear what I'm saying? He brought us to himself, prepared us place in him so that where he is, we can be also. Instead of Jesus is not going to live your life through you. He's going to live his life through you and your life story. You with me? And so that you understand that wherever you go, you're trusting that we are being led by him, and that's where he is. And whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, whatever the enemy might try to do, they're dealing with him. And where he is, you are also. I was in this thing one time, and it was full of alpha males. And I'm soft-spoken. I like people. I'm a people person. Jesus is a people person. We have different personalities. But it was just sort of an intimidating situation and a sort of threatening situation. Nobody was mean. It was just testosterone on steroids. And I felt I just didn't know how to join in. Later I was talking to him and I said, Lord, that was no fun at all. And he said, Chuck, you felt so threatened. He said, I don't feel threatened at all. I don't get threatened. I said, really? He said, I wasn't intimidated or threatened. And what you forgot is they weren't dealing with you. They were dealing with me. But where I am, you are also. And you would have the privilege. You could have had the privilege of experiencing them dealing with me, not just you. Wow. So I was able to repent, right? And know that the next time I find myself in a situation like that, it's not about whether I'm adequate or not adequate, because in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. It's about him, because where he is, there I am also. Now, we'll use that example a lot the rest of the weekend, that where he is, that's where you are also. So you have to think in those terms. It's better than where you are, he is also. That's true, of course. But think of it in terms of it's his life, and he's living his life through your life story. You want that story. That's a better story. It sanctifies your story. I mean, you still have your stuff. I mean, you're being led. You're like, well, I want to grow up to be this. Well, therefore, he does too. And so in that world, but it's him. It's him. It's about him. And where he is, there you are also. If you begin to see through that lens, it changes everything. Because you're not trying to promote yourself, push yourself, impose yourself, be worried about yourself. I was driving away last night. I said, Lord, I really hope they liked that. He said, well, I liked it. I said, okay, that's good. Because where you are, I am also. That was you. He said, did you say anything that wasn't true? I said, well, no. He said, well, then therefore, enjoy it. Because the temptation when you do what I do for a living, and one of my weaknesses is that you want people to think you're wonderful. There's no fun in that. Because what if they don't, and you're never quite sure? There's no freedom in that. But he's not here so that they'll make you think I'm wonderful. He's here because he thinks you're wonderful. And I get to participate in that. Where he is, there I am also. Okay? So this is part of the deal of we're transformed how? By the renewing of our mind. And a renewed mind is a mind that is consistently conscious that you died. It's now Christ living his life in you. Okay? All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.